I am excited. Man, the Spirit of God is like
So
moving and it's beautiful. It's evident. I'm like over here trying to be like, okay, Pastor Asia, don't go there too much, you know, or like, you know, Pastor George, hold on, wait. And because, you know, it's just when the Spirit wants to say something, he's going to say something. And it's so beautiful because you don't have to wait to come into this building to hear the Spirit or be led by the Spirit. Thank God that we could come together and his presence be so full and rich that those who need to drink can drink. But you can experience God everywhere and anywhere. And it's truly incredible and amazing. I want to teach today. And before I get into kind of the meat and potatoes of what it is, I honestly, I don't even have an ending to this because, and I asked the Lord, you know, like, how do you want to close this out? And he's like, why do we have to end things? I'm like, that sounds awesome. How do you want me to close it out? You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. But you know what's really, really amazing about the Lord is that he's infinite in nature, which means that every time we go to him, there's something new we can learn, something new we can experience, and something new we can see. Our young adults, a few weeks ago, a month ago, maybe even longer than that now, I'm so bad at tracking time. We went to Orlando and participated in like a conference, and it was beautiful. And afterwards, we kind of like started talking about what we were going to take home. And the amazing thing about just sitting around a table at like 12 in the morning and just talking about what God had done is that everybody's flesh is tired, but it's the Spirit that's speaking. And so no one really wants to go to bed, you know? And you know you have to get up early in the morning, but every time somebody says something, it was like, that was God. I just want to sit here a little longer. One of the topics that came up, and I realize I never told you what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about something called doxology and Christological hymns, which is, I think, very appropriate where we are right now because what the Spirit is doing is he wants you to worship. And doxology is just a fancy word for saying, singing short hymns to the Lord. And those are all over Scripture. In fact, I'm going to get off topic again. So I'm going to get back to that, but I'm going to finish the thought that I was on. What's really beautiful that one of the things that we talked about was sometimes when you worship God, you can just immediately raise your hands, close your eyes, get on your knees, however you worship, and the presence of God just be so thick that you're just there. And it's amazing, it's beautiful, it's exactly what you need. Other times, you feel like maybe you're just there trying to press in, and it's really hard. You don't hear anything, you don't feel anything, and you can't see anything. And it's like you're hitting this wall. And that conversation came up, and you know, it could be frustrating, especially if you encounter that over and over and over again. But one of the things that I was telling our young adults is like, look, when you hit that moment, when you raise your hands and you're worshiping and when you're trying to dive in, but you can't experience God, maybe it's Jesus inviting you to experience him in a new way. Because we are very fleshly. Let me say this. I am very fleshly. I have to crucify my flesh every single day. I can't go a day without my flesh being crucified because then my flesh will do whatever it wants. So it's one thing to experience God in the flesh, emotion, energy, it's beautiful. But we were called and we are called to love God with our heart, mind, soul, spirit, and strength. I think I, heart, mind, strength. It is strength. I think I just sold soul and spirit twice. But we're meant to love God more than just our heart, more than just the emotional movement. And our heart is deceiving anyway. But we're meant to worship him with our heart. But there's also this intellectual mind that you have that you can worship God with, right? There's also strength that in your works, when the Lord says you go and you do, you're worshiping him with your strength. And so there are many different facets. And sometimes I think that when we hit this wall in worship and you don't feel anything, it's Jesus asking you, will you worship me a new way? Can I invite you to experience me in a new way? And that can mean, I wish I could give you what that is for you. I can't because everyone's in a different place, but hopefully that kind of like blesses you in some way. So first and foremost, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him." I can't move away from the scripture sometimes. Like, all the promises of God find their yes in the Lord Jesus, which means that when he is Alpha and Omega, he's beginning and end, he was and is to come, it's like every area of Jesus is fulfilling our life, right? So for all the promises of God find their yes in him, that is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. This last young adults, I taught them what amen was a little bit. It was a lot more than that. But what I want to share with you guys about this, amen is a prayer all by itself. That's why many times a prayer is then supplemented with amen. Like, amen is one prayer by itself. It just, amen literally translates, let it be so. Let it be so. Some people say it just means yes. Technically, they're right, but it more literally means let it be so. And so when we hear glorifications to God and worship and we utter our amen, what we're saying is let it be so. The saints are coming into agreement. Let it be so. There's something beautiful about like the book of Revelations. If you ever got to the last chapter, chapter 22, there's this amazing piece where, you know, he's identifying as the Alpha and the Omega, and he is the root and he is the descendant of David. He is the beginning and the end. I mean, the imagery is amazing, but the church's response to the glory of God is, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. You know, that let it be so. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. And that should be our heart, that when we enter into a place of worship, we should be uttering our amen, which is, let it be so, Lord, come. Yes. Let it be so. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Church can become a lot of things if we're not careful. I'm not saying our church is guilty of it, but our heart and our posture, we can carry things into church that give glory and attention to things that shouldn't have that attention. Really, what we should come with is a heart and a posture that says, Lord Jesus, oh Father, Holy Spirit, help me know nothing but the Lord Jesus and him crucified. Amen. The Bible teaches us, and I taught this, I don't know how many Sundays ago, and if you didn't get it, that's fine. I'm not offended. But I did bring up, and I didn't feel it appropriate to share the scriptures all over again, but Jesus is the power of God. Amen. Scripture outlines that. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Amen. And Jesus is the knowledge of God. It's beautiful. It's beautiful that when you can see that everything comes back to Jesus, you don't need to find wisdom over here and knowledge over there and power over here. No, you just come to Christ and it's beautiful. Glory. I got one thing. Man, I feel this so much because the Bible also tells us, and I'm going to skip my notes a little bit, and maybe it isn't actually that far down. There is this verse in, did I put it on here? Yes, I did. 1 Corinthians 1:25 tells us, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than men." In the book of Revelation, there is this, it's chapter 5. John is upset because they're asking, who is worthy to open the scrolls? And there's like no one there, right? And he's upset. And one of the 24 elders turns to John and says, hey, you know, do not, you know, don't be sad. There is one. And in this scene, one of the 24 elders turns to John. And now note that John is the only person here that is still human and not divine in nature in the story. Everybody has been transfigured to the divine nature, living in the kingdom of heaven. And so he turns to John and he says, you know him. This is my paraphrase, but basically he says, it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Right? It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Because we see lions as strength, the jaws, the teeth, they're large and massive. It's a warrior type mindset. But you realize that's the only time in scripture, one time, that Jesus is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. One time Jesus is referred to as a lion. In Revelation, though, I love this so much. In Revelation alone, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb 29 times. Because basically what the 24 elders is saying is, you know him on earth as the Lion. Heaven sings about him as the Lamb. Because the strength, the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen. And Christ can be, it is, portrayed in heaven and glorified and known as the Lamb of God. And no one questions the glory and power of God because they behold the one Amen. Who took away the sins of the world. Man, we take that so lightly. To get a little bit back on topic, and you know, I was trying to teach our young adults a little bit, and this is a struggle. I understand everybody has battles, everybody goes through things, and everyone, because I do too. This is why I'm saying this. But if we could just keep our eyes on the Lamb, we would not have time to think about everything else. Every time the enemy comes to try to deceive us and throw a lie into our heart, into our mind, and distract us, but our mind has been so fixated on the Lamb for so long that the fruit of worshiping him, the fruit of following him, that fruit is so beautiful that the next time we even try to entertain the tree of our flesh, when we look at that tree, we're no longer entertaining it, and that fruit just looks so irrelevant, so small and dead, compared to the beautiful fruit of the Spirit that comes from just seeking the Lord, you know? And basically the lesson I was trying to teach our young adults is this, is like the more time you spend watering the tree of don't do this and don't do that and the flesh, right? You give attention to it. Because if I ask everybody in the room, don't think about an elephant. Don't think about an elephant. Don't think about a purple elephant. Stop thinking about the purple elephant. Don't go near the purple elephant. The purple elephant is bad. We should always resist the purple elephant. When the purple elephant knocks on the door, you run the other way. Purple elephant, purple elephant. You get the picture. It's very hard not to think about it. And then we're like, well, where is Jesus in that? But if we're so fixated on the Christ, so fixated on the Lord, so fixated on the things of God, we don't fixate our life on the world.
That's right.
Right? And that tree starts to shrivel. It starts to die. We don't give time to it. And the next time the enemy tries to knock on the door, yeah, it's still a little bit of a temptation. But you compare the glory of God to this little measly shriveled up orange. And it's just like, I don't want to deal with that anymore. That I don't have time for this. I've got more time now to spend with him. So doxology and Christological hymns. I really feel like this is where God wants to go. And the reason why I started with the scripture that I started wasn't for no purpose at all. The purpose of it is that literally, I don't know why, doxology comes from it's like a Greek phrase, right, that's translated into English. But literally what it is there are moments in scripture where Paul's teaching. He's writing to the church of Ephesus or to Colossia. I don't know how you say that one. But he's writing to these churches. And then he's like, he like nails a point. Man, that was the Spirit of God. And then he worships. He writes a song in the middle of it. That's doxology. It's like in the middle of the scripture, the Spirit moves so much on him that he's like, I just got to worship for a second. Here's some examples. Here's some examples. Romans 16, 25 through 27. Paul has just finished writing the whole book, the whole letter of Romans. Now to him, and I love this because Paul does this more than once in his letters, that he'll end the epistles with a moment of glory to the Father, a moment of honor to the Son. And this is how we should treat it. I love now how we end our services in worship because it, more than we might realize, is biblical. because the saints were used to reading instructions from the saints, like the apostles, and somewhere in there, there be worship. Somewhere in there be a hymn. Somewhere in there be some kind of glorification to the Father. And this is, in Romans 16, 25 through 27 is a perfect one. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to be about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Let it be so. Let it be so. And you're thinking, I was like, that's not how I would write a song. But you have to understand that when that in this moment, Paul has just instructed with wisdom and knowledge and all of this stuff, right, about what God's plan is. And then he turns it into a, but this isn't about me. This is about him. This is about him. And I'm going to go to Philippians for right now, but I have more that I want to read to you. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay, that one I can sing with, right? That one, woo, that one's amazing. But you know what's really beautiful about this is that that's not even the end of the letter. Paul is writing to this church, and he starts off with like servanthood. That's the topic. He starts off the letter about how to be basically a servant in the Lord. But somewhere in that letter, he takes a pause on teaching, and he says, now let's just worship the best servant, the one and only true servant, the greatest example of servanthood, the one who he's always been God, right? He never became God. Jesus never became God. He always was God. He will always be God. He is God. Jesus is God. But what he became was human. And in that, he humbled himself. Amen. There is no greater humility than that. I mean, that's something worth worshiping. That's like a topic that's like amazing. Yeah. Romans 11, 36 says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Let it be so. Amen. I mean, we love the word in this church. Pastor George, Pastor Asia, iterate it over and over and over again, how much the word is so important to our walk. It should move you into worship. When you get into a place and you read something so amazing about God, it just should, your spirit, its response is simply, come Lord Jesus and worship him. You know, it's like, that's the natural response that the spirit has, right? Pastor George said it earlier, the Holy Spirit always glorifies the Son. Yeah. He always points back to the Son. Amen. And the Holy Spirit in us should move us to worship the Son. In 1 Timothy 1:17, it says, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I love these phrases. I mean, I can get behind that. You know what I mean? Like imagine not only sitting next to somebody as intelligent as Paul, but then all of a sudden he starts to break out in worship and you're like, can you write all your letters like that? You should write a song, Paul. Like, just like, seriously, like the amount of time he spent in the presence of God and the words, that the way he puts them together just to glorify the one and only King. I mean, that's beautiful. It's amazing. I have a lot of scripture. But I do want to get to something that I did write down. And I'm like, man, this moved me. And I hope it encourages you. Philippians chapter 1, 1 through 2. How many of us are guilty of just skipping through these introductions real quick? I do. You know, sometimes I just go real fast. I want to get to what the point of the, I want to get to the point of the letter, but sometimes I miss the fact that the point of the letter is in the first few verses. So Philippians chapter 1, 1 through 2, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. I hope I said that right. With the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find that Paul opens up his letters many times with that second verse. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But before I get to that, I want to pause. A long time ago, which was like maybe a few months ago, I taught on this point, but I want to break it down real quick. To all the saints, in verse 1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Remember what I said? Jesus never became God. Yes. Yes, I remember that. Okay. Jesus never became God, but he did become human. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has always been. Go back to Genesis as the Spirit hovered over the water. I love that imagery, right? The Spirit hovers over the water. Jesus walks on the water, right? It's like you can't hide those things, right? He bends down. He creates Adam. He makes mud and puts it on a guy's eye and heals it, makes a new eye from it. It's amazing. There's these Jesus and just Genesis moments. In Christ Jesus. To the saints in Christ Jesus. I looked up that word in the Greek. I don't remember what that exact Greek word is, but I remember I looked it up because I was like, okay, I just want to make sure it doesn't mean something else. You know what it means? In. You know what it means? It means within. In. You can't get more crazy than that. Why did I look it up? Because I wanted to make sure that this point is true. Friend, we are in Christ Jesus. John 15, 4 through 9, talks about us abiding in him, yeah. Right? Go read the whole chapter of John 15. That's your homework. And then we understand that this was a foundational theological truth that Paul could just apply very simply in every introductory letter, in Christ Jesus. Why is that so amazing? Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have community, right? But now that we're in Jesus, we have relationship with God like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That before Christ became man, humanity had no place in the Trinity. But now that Christ has become man, he has exalted us to the level of fellowship that is only reserved between Father, Son, and Spirit. I mean, how amazing is that? That means there is this whole nother realm available to you when you pray and when you read the word. And when you obey, like you have a relationship with the triune God. And he has invited you to that closeness. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah, there's so much I could say there, but I'm very aware of the fact that I can easily get off topic. Yeah, bear with me. To the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that because when I read that, I take a moment, I pause, and I say, yes, Lord, amen. Because I want that grace and I want that peace. if Paul had the authority to go and write to his followers and say, grace to you and peace to you, right? Then when we read these letters, it's the Holy Spirit that we can simply be like, yeah, grace to me, grace to us. The Holy Spirit is speaking the Lord, by the power of the Lord Jesus, we can receive the grace and the peace as Life Ministries Church, amen. Right? Like grace and peace to us. Glory. And when I was writing this down, I had put something and I was like, this sounds kind of mean, but I'm going to say it because I felt like the Holy Spirit gave it to me. But if you want to do your own thing, Christianity is not for you, right? If you want to do your own thing, you want to live your own life, you want to be an independent, whatever, like Christianity isn't for you. Because if we're in Christ, there is this dying that happens. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, which is what we talked about, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died. Who died? Me. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Galatians 2:20 says, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, right? And these concepts can so easily be overlooked because Galatians 2:20 is a very popular scripture, right? Most people have it memorized. Depends on the day. I have it memorized. You know, you ever like memorize something new and something else just, it's just me. So the point I was trying to bring, in Christ Jesus, belong in Christ Jesus. And the only way you can stay in Christ Jesus is if there's none of you. There's none of me. There's nothing me left. It's not my story. It's not my strength. It's not my ambitions. It's not my dream. It's not my goal. It's the Lord Jesus. And every time we start to kind of distance ourselves from the Lord, it starts with me. It starts with my pride. It starts with the things I want. And the moments we bring these things back and we kind of let them creep in the flesh, our flesh starts to win. And we're no longer in Christ, which means the grace and the peace and the promises of God that all have their yes and amen in who? In him. We're missing out on because we separate ourselves from him. But it is simple. It is simple, but so hard to just stay dead and belong in him because it can be so easy in our weakest moments when we're alone and no one will know that if I just slip up here, it's not a big deal. But in Christ, there is no flesh. In Christ, there is none of us. I'm going to get back to reading a few of these psalms because I do, or they're not psalms, but they're hymns. It's doxology. I'm trying to teach, but it's hard. I want to read these, but I want you to understand this. My heart for you, the point I'm trying to bring, and will always be this, is that every answer is in Jesus, right? Months ago, I tried to teach power, knowledge, wisdom. It's Jesus. Right now, I'm trying to teach that if you can fixate your mind on him, everything you do will just be worship. You will go from laboring to worship, yeah. Right? You will go from working your job to immediately, man, I just broke out in worship. You'll go from laying your kids down at night to, man, I'm in worship. You'll go from, you know, spending time with family who doesn't love God, and you'll just go be yourself, and all of a sudden, you're worshiping. And there's things about your life you can carry worship with you all the time because it's the Spirit of God in you that just naturally wants to sing a song. It just naturally wants to break out. And the only thing keeping you from worshiping is your own flesh, your own pride. It's not my favorite song. You're not the one being worshiped. I don't know these words. That's okay. God gave you a lot more. You know English, Spanish, something? Like, you don't have to sing the song, the word. 90% of the time, I'm not reading those words. And it's not because they're not beautiful, but it's because I can read them three or four times, and then my own song The Spirit of the Lord gets his own from the one he's been touching me with. And I don't have to be the loudest person in the room. You don't have to be the loudest person in the room. You don't even have to shout. Shouting used to be my worship. If you knew me when I was little, shouting used to be my worship. But now it's come to a much more deep place where now I have to think about what I'm going to say. Like a child, like my daughter, who's like going to be 3, and praise God, we share the same birthday, and that's a gift. And she's about to be 3. Her language has evolved so much, rather progressed. When she was 1 and starting to speak, it was cute. Like, you know, oh, she said daddy. She said daddy first. And if Kaylin's listening to this, we're training the other one to say mommy. I'm trying. It's cute. It's cute when they have that broken English, not knowing what you're really saying, but they, you know, whatever it is, it's communicating love. And then they grow up and their words get better. And now I have a lot of patience for Ellie, but less than I did for when she was littler because her vocabulary has grown. And now I appreciate when she tries a little harder to communicate. And as we grow in Christ, that's how it is, right? It's okay for you not to know what to say. It's okay. Don't stay there. It's okay for you not to know how to worship. God will receive it like a child. Don't stay there. Grow up. You know? That's a prophetic word. Seriously, like if you really want the things of God, know that when you walk through the door, you can be as baby and childish and the Lord will receive it as long as your posture is, I refuse to stay here, Lord. I refuse to be fed with a bottle for the rest of my life. When I open the Bible, I want to see your face. I want to walk into the presence of God. Lord, for people that don't have saved family members, it's okay for you to go in the closet, open the door, sit down, read the Bible, and no one knows, right? It's okay for that. But believe that every time you go into that private place of prayer, that the Spirit of God seeps through the door and fills the room. Because don't stay with a relationship that only affects you. Stay with the mind, grow into the mindset that my relationship with the Lord is going to be so contagious, it cannot be hidden. Amen. It cannot be contained. There is... There is, nope, you know, I'm not going to say it because the Lord doesn't want me to. If we could stand, I am going to, I want to say these last scriptures to you because they touch my life and we can enter into worship. But I want you to know this, church, worship the Lord. If you're in a place where your worship is still very introductory, like so what? You're worshiping him, not the person next to you, right? You don't need to worry about what they think. When your face is looking at his face, nothing else in the world matters. This is actually really good practice because if you can't focus on him when you're in a room with other believers that are trying to focus on him too, then friend, when you're in the workplace and in the world and with family who doesn't believe, it's really hard to worship because you know they don't believe. But look to the person next to you. They love God. They love God and they want to go after God. And it doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. And if it does to them, let the Lord deal with them. That, you know what I mean? Like, because it's not, the worship isn't for them. The worship isn't about them. Colossians, did I read this one already? Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Did I read that one? I did. All right. I'm going to read it again. If you would just with me, just look to heaven. Like no one else is in the room. Just look to heaven. He, this is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, or making peace by the blood of his cross. Friend, just keep looking to heaven. Pretend I'm not even here. Just listen to the words. This is between you and Jesus. This is what worship can look like when we don't need emotion and energy. Just focus on Him and focus on the Word. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Glory to God. This is the one that we worship. The Bible tells us, just keep your eyes on Him. The Bible tells us in Revelation that He holds stars in His hands. And those stars are angels. In ancient days, the size of your army used to be what demonstrated your strength. But in this picture, it's the size of God compared to the little angels in His hands that demonstrate His. Oh, You are glorious, Father. You are glorious, Lord. To know You, it's the meaning of life. For You are life Himself. Oh, Lord Jesus, open our eyes to see You, to worship You for who You are. Move our spirits to create a new song. Oh Lord, that our language could progress to express what only the Spirit knows about You. Lord Jesus, thank You for Life Ministries Church. Thank You for our faithful pastors. Thank You for those who've behind the scenes have put their hands to the plow to make this place a place of worship. Thank You, Lord, for those who have laid down their lives because they want nothing else but You, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, to look at You, to know You, it's so easy to let go of the world when I can truly see You. Holy Spirit, treasury of blessing, whom every good thing flows. May Your goodness wash over Your people. Lord, every gap in their life be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord Jesus, with You, the Word of God. Oh Father, with You, who are love. You are love. Church, I'm just going to ask you to worship Him. Just be with Him. Just be led by Him. Thank You, Lord.
permission. Such a time as this, to worship you in spirit and in truth, because if we know you, we know that you are worth our worship. You are worth our praises, Jesus. I hear the Lord saying, if millions of people could march the streets over a basketball team, and millions of people could sit at home and watch TV and cheer for their team, how much more? How much more? How much more? The Son of God, He poured it out. He poured out His blood for us. He took all the sin of the world. His body was broken. Dare hold back. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us, Jesus, when we thought it was about us and it's about you. Worship Him, worship Him, worship Him, worship Him.
Word.
to me.